He had a Hall of Fame career on the field.
Paul Molitor is the first player in the history of baseball to get a triple on his 3,000th hit.
And now he's making out the lineup card for his hometown team.
I'd like to introduce the 13th manager of the Minnesota Twins, Paul Molitor.
This is the Paul Molitor Show. Your chance to hear directly from the manager on the state of your team. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris.
Well, good morning to you. Hope everybody's enjoying a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend and taking time along the way to remember why, in fact, we have this three-day weekend on Memorial Day and think about all the greater meaning that is embedded in this three-day weekend. Chris Atterbury in studio. Jack Morris is here outdressing me as usual. And in Chicago, Paul Molitor joins us for the Paul Molitor Show. If you'd like to join us, you can do that as well. 877-38-TWINS. That's 877-388-9467. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
As good as you. You got a chance to win another series, right? Everything going good in Chicago?
It's going okay, Jack. These games have been a lot of fun. I just can't tell you how much a pleasure it is to watch our guys try to get after it and see how they're responding to both the good and the bad. We had a couple of really good games in Pittsburgh, especially that extra inning win, and then to come back here on Friday and have a chance to beat a really good pitcher and let it kind of go by the wayside, give some Marge a lot of credit. And then you got Sale right on his heels, which is a tough order, especially in shadows, and somehow we found a way to get some runs on the board and win that game. So, you like that. You like the response of your team, and hopefully today, we always know the last day of a road trip, you got to be mentally strong and go out there and hopefully compete well. And, you're hoping Gibby gives you a chance to win the game. And like you said from the outset, kind of a long answer, but did you have a chance to win the series?
Yeah, well, Jack and I said it from the beginning, Paul. As long as you win on Saturdays, he and I are always feeling good when we come in the studio because we know you'll be in a good mood. We've been talking this morning about, Tom Kelly and his 40-game rule and how Tom really felt TK was always big into after 40 games. He really had a really good, solid idea of who he had, how they were wired, how to best utilize them. He felt everybody had a shot to kind of show him what they could do. Do you buy into that? Do you feel that after this amount of time, really, you have maybe an even better idea of exactly what you're working with?
I think the majority of the time that's going to be a fairly good barometer. I know that was a TK thing, and I kind of have paid attention to that since I first heard him talk about that, whenever that was back in the 90s at some point, even before I came back to the Twins. And I think that it's in flux a little bit in that when you have certain injury situations and different people come up and they kind of either help or hinder your club, and you're kind of trying to still shape things to some degree currently. With a guy like Garcia being down and different things like that, it changes potentially what you eventually might become, and as well as guys that might come up and influence your team from the system. So, but I think overall, the farther you go into it, we realize we're at the quarter pole. We're at the quarter pole. We're not. It's just kind of hopefully setting up yourselves for what is still a very long season to go. But I think this team's identity has been good. I think it's going to continue to change somewhat as we go forward. I would imagine so. But, TK got it right. It gives you a pretty good feel of your club after you play about 40 games.
Paul, let's take a step backwards. A week ago we talked, and there's been a couple transactions. Since then, Kenny Vargas has been sent back down. And Tim Stauffer is now in your bullpen. Talk a little bit about the move with Vargas and how you plan to utilize Stauffer.
Well, I think everyone loves having Kenneth around. He was a big part of our offensive turnaround last year. This year, for me, even though he was getting some hits in May, Jack, I just didn't see him as being a guy that was contributing in a fashion that was worthy of being a middle of bat guy at that particular juncture. I found myself, lowering him in the lineup and trying to build his confidence. He's gone down there. He's done well. He had two home runs in the first game of a doubleheader the other day. And I just think that he was a little bit in between with his approach up here. And to go down there and get some at-bats in the short term and hopefully get him back on track seemed like the right thing to do. The bullpen, we expanded to eight. We talk about the irony of doing it after an interleague series as opposed to before, but that's just kind of the way it worked out. I would prefer to have four guys on the bench instead of three, but here in the short term, I think we're fine. And, you know, we got more things to decide upon, obviously, with to see how Arcia does when he goes down and different things like that. You know, Casey Fien is supposed to pitch today and a couple times in the midweek here before we see if he's ready to come back to our club. So there's still some changes on the horizon.
Yeah, and Casey did throw an inning yesterday. We are joined by Paul Molitor on the Paul Molitor Show. We'll take our first break. When we come back, we've got Pete from Fridley hanging on the phone with a question for Paul about bunting. We're going to talk about Trevor May, Kyle Gibson, and a whole lot more. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball. It's the road trip and deal of 2015, thanks to Twins Trips. From July 2nd through the 5th, you'll catch three games in Kansas City as the Twins take on the defending American League champion Royals. The deal includes travel, deluxe hotel accommodations, tickets to the games, a reception, admission to the Negro League Baseball Museum, and more. Plus, your host for the trip, Twins legend Tony Oliva. Call 612-276-3824 or contact Target Field Events at twinsbaseball.com to book your Twins trip today.
We bought a house.
We found the one.
Here to stay.
Permanent.
Rooted.
Residence.
Relocated. I've been relocated.
In a short-term world, trust your home mortgage to a long-term bank. U.S. Bank offers the rates and products that fit your life. Visit a branch, usbank.com/mortgage, or call 855-434-HOME to talk to an experienced mortgage loan originator today. Mortgage loans subject to credit approval. Interest rates and program terms are subject to change. Deposit and mortgage products are offered by U.S. Bank, National Association, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
This is Dave St. Peter, president of the Minnesota Twins, on behalf of Minnesota Eye Consultants. Minnesota Eye is the preferred ophthalmology group of the Minnesota Twins and is a generous supporter of the Minnesota Twins Community Fund. I had my corrective eye surgery at Minnesota Eye, as have several of our players and support staff. If you have special eye care needs or wish to learn more about vision correction without glasses or contacts, contact Minnesota Eye Consultants. Go to MNEYE.com. For your eyes, do what the Twins do and see Minnesota Eye.
While a cow eats 25 pounds of hay each day, a Case IH round baler can bale 450,000 pounds of hay in a day. And while cattle have only one job to do, a Maxim Series tractor has 70 tools and attachments to help you do any job. Sure, cattle bring in the profits, but for every other job you need to get done, count on Case IH equipment. Visit your local Case IH dealer or caseih.com/livestock.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Sunday morning at Target Field here in our Treasure Island Baseball Network headquarters. It's the Paul Molitor Show. Chris Atterbury and Jack Morris. We're nice and dry. It's raining a bit on Maryland and Michigan as they battle for the Big Ten title behind us. Paul Molitor is in Chicago, and Pete from Fridley is on the phone. Pete, do you have a question for the manager this morning?
Yeah, I was just wondering what Paul's theory was about sacrifice bunting. I know that some managers like Earl Weaver hated it, you know, and he felt like he was giving up an out. And I just wonder how Paul's feelings on that.
Well, I think it's a good question because, you know, obviously over time, I think how the sacrifice bunt is used is changed. You know, you go back to guys like Gene Mauch who – you know, really, really wanted that first run of the game. He was a big believer, and your chances of winning go up exponentially if you get that first run on the board. I remember him doing it in the first inning quite a bit. You know, we saw last year Kansas City use it, sacrifice bunt down the stretch and in the postseason, and it seemed like every time they executed it properly, somehow they found a way to get runs in. So, you know, I'm looking at different guys up there. There's been times when I've bunted just trying to add a run on. Like yesterday, I thought it was important to give us a chance to add on late. And there's other times when you got a pretty good feel about your hitter up there that he might be able to get a fastball and create even a better situation to score by going ahead and letting him swing. So I kind of take a look at each situation individually, where we're at on the road, at home, who's on the mound, how my bullpen looks. All those kind of things influence some of those decisions about when to bunt and when not to bunt.
Paul, speaking of early runs, you guys have been doing a pretty good job putting some runs on the board. I know that's given your starting pitchers a little confidence to throw strikes and get ahead. With that being said, you struggled after the second inning a few times of scoring again. And I know a lot of that has to do with the guy on the mound, especially Samardzija and Sale. Mm-hmm. They both kind of got dialed in. But are you a little concerned about where and how you score runs over the course of the whole nine innings?
I'm really not. I don't think it's a matter of a letdown or guys getting comfortable with a lead. I've thought about that a little bit the last couple of days, because we have had that happen, you know, at least a handful of times where we've scored early and haven't been able to add on. If you look at the game overall and the runs per game being scored, they're just tough to come by. And if you're fortunate enough to score early, you obviously hope that you continue to add on and increase the difference between your club and theirs. But it just doesn't always work that way. I'll take the runs early every time and hope for the best as we go forward. It's just tough to score. And hopefully when your offense is rolling, you can keep putting numbers up there. But, you know, we've had some games where we've scored early, which is a good thing, and we just had to find a way to try to hang on. And that's just the way the game's going to be sometimes.
You know, Paul, kind of linking back to both that thought and the bunting thought and getting the importance of 90 feet, which is a big part of your belief system and philosophy that you preach to your club. Just on this road trip alone, we see Maurer steal third. That leads directly to a critical run. We see Brian Dozier score from first base, taking that extra couple of steps on a single to shallow left. Yesterday, Dozier goes to third on a ground ball in front of him at short that leads directly to a run. Do you feel like your guys are starting to sense that? And talk about Brian in particular as a base runner in terms of some of those subtle things that can allow you to get an extra 90 feet.
Well, we try to get the message out, and it doesn't always work, that your speed shouldn't determine whether you're a good base runner or not. Whether it's a ball in the dirt or a overthrow or a relay throw, there's going to be a ball that you can advance on. It might not be the same ball for Santana that it is for Suzuki, but there is a ball. So I think the guys are trying to do that. I like to watch guys run the bases and be intelligent about it. Brian is certainly one of our better guys. I just think he has a good awareness. He's got a good instinct. The ball yesterday, although it's hit in front of him, Shane didn't hit it, you know, very firmly, and it was just his anticipation that he could beat that play even though the ball was in front of him. And, you know, if he gets thrown out there, people are going to question his judgment, but I like taking risks when they make sense, and that was one of those times where it did. And like you said, it led to another run.
Yeah, you guys have stolen a couple of big runs that way, and those little runs, those little things, can lead to major differences in how a series or a season play out. We'll take a timeout if you'd like to weigh in. We've got a couple of segments left. 877-38-TWINS, 877-388-9467. It's the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
Kids grow out of calling mom, mommy. They grow out of sleeping with a blankie. They grow out of eating stuff off the floor. They grow out of race car-shaped beds. They grow out of having invisible friends, hopefully. But a kid never grows out of baseball. They grow old with it. The joy, the lessons, and the memories stick with them like pine tar. Give your kid the lifelong gift of baseball. Learn more at twinscommunityfund.org. The Twins Community Fund. Getting more kids in the game. The Minnesota Twins Community Fund is supported by Minnesota Twins Cornerstone Partners, Target, U.S. Bank, Treasure Island Resort and Casino, and Delta Airlines. We thank them for supporting youth baseball and softball throughout the Upper Midwest and for getting more kids in the game.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Every Tuesday is a U.S. Bank Value Pack Day at Target Field. Purchase a U.S. Bank Home Run Porch View ticket and receive a free Schweigert hot dog and Pepsi. For more information, go to twinsbaseball.com.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. Paul Molitor's in Chicago with his team. I'm Jack Morris along with Chris Atterbury here at Target Field. Paul, I want to talk a little bit about Aaron Hicks.
We better wait because I think Paul just hung up on us.
We have technical difficulties.
We have to redial Paul. I think maybe they used all the phone lines there for the Paul Konerko ceremony yesterday. So maybe Hockaroo had to make a call. But we're going to get Paul Molitor back on the line here in a second. But the subject, though, is certainly worth broaching, and that's we're going to talk about Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, he's done a phenomenal job defensively, in my opinion, absolutely saved the game yesterday with that great catch in right center field. And, you know, it's a situation where if he doesn't catch it, the hitter, Adam Eaton, probably is on third base with nobody out. I guess Paul's back. Paul, I want to talk a little bit about Aaron Hicks. Great defensive play. Well, two of them in this series in Chicago, but one I thought yesterday saved the game. If he doesn't catch that ball, Adam Eaton ends up on third base with nobody out. Really a game-changing catch.
Well, you know, Aaron's played a really solid center field. You know, all the highlight catches so far. You know, he's engaged, and I think he's beginning to understand that the old thing for young players to be able to separate the different compartments of the game. Sale was tough on him yesterday, and he still went out there and was able to make plays. He had an opportunity early in the game to make another incredible catch. He got to the wall, and I think it looked like to me his glove kind of got locked up into the fence before he could make an adjustment at the last second. But that play that he made on Eaton, as you mentioned, leading off an inning and with his speed, he's going to be on third with nobody out in a one-run game. So that's, you can't ask for a bigger play than that. The other night he made that catch that saved some runs for Hughes and Pittsburgh. It's been good to watch him out there play the position in an aggressive fashion and making plays for us. And you know, he's having fun. I see the smile. I see the confidence, and those things, you know, you can only hope will continue.
Paul, you used the word engage, and I think Chris and I were talking between breaks here about how we've seen him mentally be more in tune to the game and setting up defensively to adjust, making throws that he usually, or well, in the past maybe was nonchalant about. Is that something that you and your coaching staff have talked to him, or do you just think the light bulb has finally gone on for Aaron Hicks?
Jack, it's probably a combination. I think you know, his time here in the past and working with different outfield coaches and, of course, Butch this year from spring training to the time he came back. You know, there's a certain way to handle even routine plays, getting the ball back in. When you cut off a base hit towards the gap, you try to make that either throw on the fly or make sure it's a good hop for the middle infield to handle. You know, just all those things obviously have been instilled by coaching. I think the more he goes out there and experiences it and does it correctly and he's getting positive feedback, those are all good things. But you just hope that a guy gets smarter and learns from things he's either done right or incorrectly in the past. And defensively, he's applying those things very well right now.
Yeah, and that's a position that can really bring a lot to the table. If you can turn some of those base hits into outs in center field, goes a long way towards helping the pitching staff. We've got Jim on the line from Fargo. Jim, you're on with Paul Molitor.
Hi, Paul. Question about these pitchers that just got thrown out because of the foreign substances. Does a team tell a pitcher not to do that, or does a pitcher do that on their own?
Well, it's kind of a obviously tough situation because there's so many pitchers, I don't know what the percent is, that uses some kind of aid to help grip of the ball, especially when it's a little cooler and the ball gets slick. I still think there's a high percentage of people that use a little pine tar, whether the catcher keeps it on his shin guards or they keep it on the back of their hat. The whole tendency that we've seen lately, whether it's sunscreen and rosin or different things that they use on the forearms, I think you're just asking for trouble. Anything blatant probably is going to be called out. If you do it discreetly, I don't think many opposing managers are going to try to make a big deal about it, but these things kind of happen in cycles. You know, when it happens the first time, you know, 4 or 5 days ago, everyone's alert kind of goes up a little bit. I talk with my coaches about if we get into a situation with an opposing pitcher where something is blatant, is the right thing to go ahead and get the guy out of the game, or you give him an opportunity to clean it up? Because we know that it's an important part of maybe what some of our guys do as well. It's just something that the pitchers have to be intelligent about. I don't think it's an intent to make the ball do anything unnatural, as is more opposed to just having a feel for pitches, and I think most people can live with that.
You want to weigh in on this one, Jack?
No, I agree. You know, for the most part, you know, with that all being said, they put rosin on the mound to grab to get a better grip. So, you know, I totally understand the breaking ball especially. That's what we're really talking about.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I totally I laugh and giggle at the fact that the guys are that blatant. I mean, There's places all over the world that you can hide stuff, and hitters use pine tar for a better grip on the bat. So, you know, it's all fair and love and war. Just don't do it and be stupid, and then don't yell at the opposing manager when he gets you thrown out.
Right.
Guys, I can't help but think about Mike Pelfrey backing up home plate. He picked up the bat, you remember, at Target Field.
Yeah.
He actually called time, went to the dugout to wipe the pine tar off of his hand before he went back to the mound. We're thinking, what's he doing? Keep it on there. He just got a freebie. But
sometimes it's too sticky.
Yeah, too much stickum. It's like young Jack Morris throwing scuffed balls off the mound in his career. We'll take our last time out. We'll come back, talk about today, talk a little pitching with Paul Molitor. This is the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball.
The perfect Ford for me? Gotta be the 2015 Fusion. Its available EcoBoost engines match big power and big MPG. That way, I spend more time exploring and less time waiting at the pumps. Plus, it's loaded with awesome tech like available hands-free voice-activated sync that keeps me connected while I'm on the road. And a standard rear-view backup camera that makes squeezing into that perfect parking spot a breeze. All that is loaded in a sleek design that's sure to turn some heads and let me cruise in style. To me, the choice is clear. Nothing beats a Fusion. The 2015 Ford Fusion, starting around $19,233. That's right, around $19,233, only for a limited time. Go online to northlandford.com, then visit your local Northland Ford dealer for a test drive today. Not all buyers will qualify for all cash back. Residency restrictions apply. See dealer for their price, qualifications, and complete details. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by 6/1/15.
Want to make your home a more comfortable place, but don't think you can afford a top-brand heating and cooling system? Well, Carrier has the right solutions for every budget. When you turn to your Carrier expert, they'll show you our full lineup of best-in-class home comfort systems and help you pick the one that best fits into your home budget. From our value-priced comfort series to our top-performing Infinity system, at Carrier, we've made excellence more affordable than ever. Because in this economy, who couldn't use a little more comfort? Contact the experts at 1-800-CARRIER or carrier.com.
You're listening to the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Welcome back to the Paul Molitor Show. I'm Jack Morris, along with Chris Atterbury. Paul's in Chicago. Paul, Trevor May yesterday, I thought, was as good as he's been in the big leagues. He was able to command his fastball when he needed to. A lot of those balls were over the heart of the strike zone, but the confidence is building with that, and I thought his changeup and breaking ball were as good as we've seen at this level.
No, I'd agree with that, Jack. You know, he got ahead of a lot of hitters using all of his pitches. You know, he mixed in first pitch changes and curveballs, and I thought he had a little trouble with the location of his fastball as far as being able to get it, you know, more on the corners. But I think he recognized that. Suzuki recognized that and probably had a little higher percentage of the other pitches than normally we would see from a guy who can throw, you know, 91, 95. You know, he got through some tough innings there. You know, obviously we scored a couple times early, and each time he wasn't able to put a zero up as we went back on the field. And, you know, he got to 4-3, and I'm really keeping a close eye on him. But he settled in. And, you know, he was able to go ahead and give us his longest outing of his career at this level. So a lot of good things. He's doing a much better job with the running game. He's holding the ball. He's doing some good things out there. So, you know, you're just looking for balance throughout your rotation. And everyone seems from 1 to 5 to be holding their own right now. And that bodes well for your club.
Today's starter, Kyle Gibson, it's been a week since he's pitched. His last outing, he seemed to fight his command a little bit. Good chance for him to get back in the saddle and put a win up for you guys in a series sweep.
Yeah, you know, Gibby's been good. I think we saw some really solid starts there that he, you know, back-to-back-to-back. And then last time, as you mentioned, it was a little bit more sporadic as far as him commanding the baseball. And, you know, I think the rest is a kind of thing early in the season for a guy like him that will be helpful with response today. And, you know, like I've always said, when he's out there, I just like our chances. I just think he's maturing into a very consistent guy for us, and hopefully today that continues.
Change up the lineup yesterday, Paul. Nunez gave you a big swing of the bat in his first action in a while. What's that lineup look like on getaway day?
Well, it's changed a little bit today. I have Torrey DH'ing. I toyed with it a little bit as far as how we were going to shape the order together. I got leading off, I got Dozier. I'm going to keep Shane in the two-hole and Joe and Trevor at third, and Torrey's going to DH. Escobar's going to play shortstop today. We're going to give Danny the day off, and then Herman's going to catch. Rosario's going to be in there playing right field today, and then Aaron will be in the ninth hole today playing center field.
And Quintana on the other side, he's, you know, doesn't have the name recognition of Smarger or Sale, but he's a pretty tough customer in his own right.
Well, he is. We've seen him enough to know that he can be very effective. You know, in the past, his left-right splits have been fairly close. This year, he's dominating left-handers a little bit more, and the righties are doing a little more damage. But we got a good mix in there today, and hopefully everyone has good approaches, and we can find a way to score some runs.
All right, well, good luck with that, and go ahead and finish up strong on this road trip, and we'll see you back here at Target.
All right, guys, you guys have a good Sunday.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, there's Paul Molitor, and Jack, we heard the lineup. You talked a little bit about Kyle Gibson. We talk a lot about matchups. Do you feel like this White Sox team, it's not an especially patient offense. They've been struggling a bit, chasing a little bit. Is this a good matchup for what Kyle Gibson likes to do?
Yes. The answer, in my opinion, is yes. Kyle is all about keeping the ball below the belt. If he keeps the ball down, he has a lot better movement. When he brings the ball up, his fastball seems to straighten out, and then he starts struggling. So just keep the ball down, and he should be just fine.
All right, should be a lot of fun. The Twins have struggled. Last couple of chances on getaway day in the series. They'll have a chance to put away a division rival here today and come home with a very impressive 4-1 record on the road trip. Our thanks to Paul Molitor, everybody who dialed in today. For Jack Morris, I'm Chris Atterbury. This has been the Paul Molitor Show on your home for Twins baseball. And a reminder, if you missed any part of our show, you can find it online at twinsbaseball.com. See ya.
This has been a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.